It's time for a weekly roundup of what's going on in Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. Since the 2012 terrorist attack on the U.S. mission in Benghazi, Republicans have been accusing the White House of covering things up. They've voted to set up a new panel to continue the investigation.
And Democrats may be at odds with the president. They're blocking one of his judicial nominees and have taken up a set of corporate tax breaks in the Senate that the president has threatened to veto. As always, there's a lot of news from the road to this fall's midterm elections, too, that we can look at. Paul Singer joins us every week at this time to share the goods from Washington. Happy Wednesday, Paul.
Happy Wednesday to you, Veronica. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Well, the House voted to create a panel to investigate the 2012 terrorist attack on the U.S. mission in Benghazi. Now, this is not the first probe into the events that happened. What exactly is the game plan here for Republicans in the House?
That is a very good question. And it is not clear they have a very good answer. In fact, the Democrats at this point have not said whether they're going to participate in this thing because they're not sure what the game plan is either. There's a bunch going on here. As you mentioned, there have already been several probes by other House committees run by Republicans into what happened September 11th, 2012 in Benghazi. It's a very complex picture, in part because ultimately this is an attack on a CIA annex to a diplomatic building, and the CIA doesn't want to talk about what they were doing there. So you're into a lot of sensitive information. And these probes have already been going on, and so now why do you launch a new one? It seems clear the Republicans don't want this just to be a rehash of old allegations that doesn't get anywhere. And it also seems sort of clear they would like to centralize this discussion so it's not going on five different places at once. What is not clear is whether they're going to try and, you know, subpoena former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, whether they're going to try and force testimony from current Secretary of State John Kerry, who, of course, was not Secretary of State at the time, whether they're going to focus on talking points that the White House was kicking around in the immediate aftermath of the attacks for how they would speak about it on television. That is the part that has been the most aggressive line of attack by Republicans the past few weeks, but it's the one that in some ways means the least, because it's really just about what did you say on TV, not about what did you do to protect Americans on the ground.
Right, so there's a lot that we don't know about how things are going to proceed. Do you have any sense of what they're looking for, per se, that they haven't been able to get at so far?
No. In fact, there was an interesting article a couple of days ago that we had where we had sort of probed into what they were looking for on the commission, and there was a quote from a Democrat who said, look, you know, there's no unanswered questions here. It's been pretty clear that, you know, what happened there. It's been pretty clear that it was a terrorist attack planned by an al-Qaeda offshoot on a base that was a CIA mission, that there was a dispute between the State Department and the CIA over who's supposed to be protecting it. There's not a lot of unanswered questions. And the chairman of the committee, Trey Gowdy, responded that there's still unanswered questions about the talking points of what the administration said immediately thereafter, sort of immediately diverging back to this sort of conversation about was the administration trying to hide the fact this is a terrorist attack just before the elections of 2012. So I don't know. I mean, I honestly can't tell you exactly what questions they're going to pursue and whether there is terrain. Because keep in mind, if they conclude there's a lot of unanswered questions about the military response and about the security of the facility, they are concluding that their own investigations didn't answer the questions, which is also not a good thing for the Republicans.
Well, but then you've got Democrats who are saying that this is just being dragged out because it could be of some use to Republicans in the midterm elections and could possibly be damaging to Hillary Clinton, who's emerging as a strong candidate for 2016. How do you see it from where you stand?
Well, it is impossible to look at this without recognizing that there is a large Hillary Clinton element, a significant portion of this is spawned from doubts that Republicans have about Hillary Clinton's veracity. And they see her as somebody who is fundamentally not telling the truth. And, of course, they care about her still, despite the fact she's no longer in office, because she could be a 2016 presidential candidate. I don't think that's an unfair allegation to make, that these guys are partly interested in this because it's a Hillary Clinton issue. But they also, I mean, I think in fairness to them, they remember a lot of Republicans don't believe that the Obama administration has been very forthright on a bunch of things, and they think this is an issue where they can prove the Obama administration has not been forthright, and it's a good issue to stick to for them because there's plenty of, you know, territory there to make this point that we don't trust Obama.
And real quick before we move on, because there's a lot to talk about, is there evidence that Americans, should Hillary Clinton come out, you know, looking less than idealist, that they're going to care, that voters are going to care about this, and it's enough to give her to take a hit in 2016?
You know, who knows? I mean, a presidential campaign is long. There are 1,000 hits between here and there. Who knows which ones stick? My impression is that Benghazi is a really good way to fire up the base. I am not convinced and have not seen polling or any evidence that it is a broad attack. It's the sort of thing that would broadly sour people on Hillary Clinton if they were otherwise inclined to vote for her.
Well, and yesterday, the Democratic-controlled Senate took up a set of tax breaks for businesses, tax breaks that would increase the deficit. Now, this, as you know, after a long time where Congress was sort of in alarm mode about anything that would raise the deficit. So yeah. What's going on here? Is the Senate just not that into lowering the deficit anymore? And are we into a new phase?
They're just not that into you anymore. Yeah. Well, you know, the deficit's getting smaller. The deficit has been shrinking. The economy has been getting a little bit better. And so, to some degree, the panic is off. The other thing is that, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen a temporary tax break. Once you create these temporary tax breaks, it's hard to have them go away. And what this bill would do is extend a whole bunch of existing tax breaks for everything from research and development to, you name it, the little tax breaks that's out there, you know, for small businesses and other things. And it's billions of dollars. I'm trying to remember what the number is, but it's a lot. It's like $150 billion over 10 years. And the administration has been very interesting on this point. What they've said is, we don't want to do this unless we can figure out some way to offset the revenue. Oh, and by the way, we think you should be extending the unemployment tax break or the unemployment insurance, and we have figured out ways to finesse the numbers on that thing. So maybe there's a point here where we can finesse some of the numbers on these things, and it won't really count as an offset, and now you get into the weeds of how Congress budgets for stuff. The administration has not said we're going to veto this bill. But the administration, you know, wants to be clear that they don't want to just give away the store again for no reason. My hunch is it's an election year. These are tax credits that already exist in law. It's hard to repeal them or let them die, particularly when you've got a bunch of moderate Democrats trying to win reelections and Senate seats.
Okay, in our last minute here, we've got a story from West Virginia. West Virginia poised to make history. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they got two women running for the Senate against each other, and they will have a woman senator. I think it's the first woman senator West Virginia will ever had, replacing Senator Rockefeller, who's been there for several decades, and the two candidates, Congresswoman Capito and Tennant, who is the Attorney General now, I believe. Two women will be facing off. It's not often we see a woman versus woman Senate race. But they're becoming more common in America as more women are getting involved in politics. And we will have a woman senator from West Virginia one way or the other. And that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, an interesting story there. Apparently, they're only the 13th state to have two women in going for the upper office there.
Yeah, but you'll see that more of those races have been in the past few years. Like it was a long time before it ever happened, and in the past 5 or 6 years, you've seen several of them. So I think you'll see more of it. And we've written and on this show we've talked about the fact that, you know, women in the Senate are becoming a force, and in some cases a force for a more productive, more moderate Senate.
Looking at a trend. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us as always.
My pleasure. Talk to you next week.
That was Paul Singer, politics editor for USA Today. He joins us every Wednesday at this time to share the week's news from Congress.